Oh, did I tell you no headphones on at dinner?
Dad, RuPaul just dropped.
Oh, really? Put on the speaker so we can all hear.
RuPaul is brought to you by Earl of Sandwich, the official sandwich of Emerson College. Tell them Lou sent you and receive a free cookie with your next meal.
What's going on, everyone? Thank you for tuning in to the first official episode of RuPaul. I'm your host, Lou.
Oh, yeah.
And today's special guest is my former teammate, my former roommate, Andre Padovani. Andre, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be on.
Absolutely. Now, this guy is a former Emerson College baseball player, a former NUMAC Sportsmanship Award winner, and a former Paw Sox intern. So he knows his stuff about the Sox. Let's get right into it, Dre, talking about 2021 MLB offseason. The Red Sox also, they're making some moves in the rotation. You lose a guy like Erod, you know, that'll be tough because Erod, you know, he eats those innings. He'll pitch every fifth day. He's going to be on the bump for you. So Sox made some moves. We got the ancient Rich Hill on a one-year, $5 million deal. He's going to be 42 at the beginning of next season. Shout out Milton, Massachusetts. Milton High School grad, Rich Hill, born in Boston. He was on the team in 2015. Career, 3.8 ERA. What do you think a guy like Rich Hill is going to bring into the bullpen?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what role he settles into for the bullpen. You know, I mean, I'm expecting him to be more of like a middle reliever. You know, he's a guy. Yeah, he's a guy who's a middle reliever. You know, he'll probably make, you know, a spot start. You know, maybe, you know, I guess less than occasionally throughout the year. I mean, he's a guy that, I mean, we all know he's old. He's got a great curveball.
Left-handed arm too.
Yeah. You know? Left-handed arm out of the bullpen.
Which the Red Sox lack.
Yeah, has notable off-speed pitches. I mean, I think it's a good signing. Does it necessarily move the needle for the Red Sox? I mean, you can't really say that. But
Rich Hill's not. He doesn't have that impact. You know,
he doesn't have that impact to have. I mean, a lefty arm out of the bullpen that can start for you if someone gets hurt. Or someone like that, I mean, definitely valuable.
Also, a veteran presence in the bullpen, because, you know, a lot of those guys kind of young, Whitlock, Richards. So I think a vet in the bullpen could really help. I mean, we got some vets in the bullpen, though. Like, those guys, a couple of those guys have been around the game for a while. I mean, no one as much as Rich Hill. He should be a coach at this point. He's going to be 42. So, you know, I always think a vet is a good person to have, especially $5 million for 1 year. Like that's not going to kill the Sox.
Yeah. And he's just a guy to have on the mound. You know, he's someone that just, you know, from a fan perspective, I just feel good about when he's on the mound.
Yeah.
I don't have any, you know, reservations about him, the way, you know, he pitches. You know, he's not a guy that's going to blow up on you, but he's also not a guy that's going to, you know, shatter any ceilings. But it's just like we said, you know, great off speed pitches, just a guy you can go to whenever you need him.
Yeah.
And a guy that can pitch multiple innings.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think his presence in the locker room is going to be a big, big help for the Sox. You know, the Sox aren't really a young team per se, but I mean, a vet's always a good thing to have. Always a good thing to have. Another left-handed signing from Canada's very own, the Big Maple, James Paxton, coming to Boston on a one-year, $10 million. What are your thoughts on who was one of the best left-handed pitchers in the league a couple years ago?
This is my favorite signing by the Red Sox.
Yeah. So far.
I think, you know, like we talked about with Hunter Renfro, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, I think James Paxton has a very high potential to outperform his contract. I think, you know, he has elite potential. I think, I mean, he's just, you know, he's a lefty, throws very hard, great stuff. And just like when you just, I mean, it's another guy, when you just look at the eye test, you know, it's, he's got a huge frame, and just to have another lefty that can bring it on the mound and start for you, I just think is huge for the Red Sox. I really like James Paxton as a pitcher.
Yeah, you know, we'd have more to talk about if he didn't blow his arm out in the first inning of his first appearance last year. But, I mean, you look back on 2019 was his last, like, legitimate year. Guy went 15-6 with a 3.8 ERA. That's gonna – that'll play with the Sox, with the Sox lineup. I mean – I'll take a guy going. If Paxton gives us 10-plus wins, I think that's a great signing. But, you know, this could also blow up in our faces. There's a good chance that he's not the James Paxton he used to be.
Yeah, I mean, in like, it's just, you know, he comes in. I mean, he's 6'4". He throws upper nines.
We'll see how the we'll see the velo next spring, but
we'll see how he comes back in the velo next spring. You know, obviously, you know, he's been absent from the game for like a season, but I mean, you look at, you know, he's pitched in the AL East before. I just think that's a huge, thing.
Yeah. Not the biggest sample size for that, but yeah.
I mean, it's just a guy that – it's a signing that, you know, I feel good about, and I think other Red Sox fans can feel good about. Just having a big lefty in baseball is just never – you know, it's something that everyone wants.
Yeah, I mean, I think that he could give the Red Sox a huge boost in the starting rotation because we got another lefty, Chris Sale. And a lot of lefties in this rotation now, I mean – we don't know what they're going to do with Martin Perez. We don't know. He's either a bullpen or a spot starter guy, but another good lefty. I don't. If the bullpen and the staff performs the way they did last year, I think we're looking at another ALCS berth.
Yeah. I mean, I think like as long as the pitching can be like have, you know, just relevant consistency is just like the whole key, and their lineup's gonna hit. It's one of the best lineups in the MLB. The Sox are always gonna be in it till the end.
They're gonna defend too.
And it's just like this. You talk about just the success, kind of just like the recipe for teams in the MLB is just like this locker room is something that people see as something special. And that's just something that I felt as a fan is you can just see it. He's like, these guys like playing with each other.
Yeah, you know, absolutely.
And it's just, it's a pleasure, like just to watch them, you know, just have fun. And just like, they're just guys that, you know,
that guys playing baseball, going to ballpark every night, playing some good ball.
Yeah, it's just, it's one of those things where you just, you know, if when you're around the sport, you can just feel it.
Yeah, I mean, last year it seemed like they were just kind of like a summer ball team that got together and it clicked. There was a lot of new players on that Red Sox team last year, especially in the starting lineup. You know, the second base was up in the – they didn't know who was going to play second base any night. Any night. They had no idea. They didn't know who was going to play center field every night. By the end of the year, we were expecting Renfro and Wright. But even at first base, you never knew if Bobby D was going to be in the lineup or not, especially when he started to skid.
Yeah, and it was rare. I mean, they came in, they found their identity during the season, which was the most special thing about them.
Yeah.
Is that it's like, you know, it was so unexpected for them to, you know, I mean, I wasn't necessarily expecting the Red Sox to be one of the worst teams or at the bottom of the division or anything like that. But I mean, I didn't expect the type of success they had, especially, you know, the middle to latter part of the season.
No. I didn't think they were going to make the playoffs last year at the beginning of the season. I was like, no shot. I mean, I got to stop believing that the Yankees are going to win the AL East every year. I mean, it's becoming a joke that that roster is what it is, and they can't win the AL East. When they're going up against the Tampa Bay Rays, who have the cap space of they're like a D3 team compared to a D1 team, the Rays, with their cap space.
Yeah.
And I mean, the Red Sox weren't supposed to be that good. And I guess Toronto, they kind of performed as expected. I think some people thought that they would have made the playoffs last year. But I mean, Yankees disappointment.
Yeah, the Yankees disappointment.
You're the Yankees. You cannot lose to that Red Sox team in the wild card after sweeping them in Boston weeks before.
Yeah, and you just see, like, it's, you know, baseball is one of those sports where it's just so it formulates itself throughout the year, where you can just see and tell and feel when a team is there and when they're not there.
Yeah.
Just from like a standpoint of just the way they're playing with each other. You know, you have all these Yankee teams, you know, they're so manufactured.
Well, the Yankees seemed to be there in late September last year. Yeah. I mean, when they swept the Sox at home, I had to go. I was at Fenway for that game that they got swept on. I was sitting with Calvin JC, Yankee fan, and Chuck Friedman, Yankee fan. And they were ripping me. I left early. I wasn't going to stay and watch them lose and listen to them. I left.
I mean, you're talking about the Yankees, who, you know, I mean, we already know who they have. You know, we're talking about Glaber, Judge, Stanton, all those dudes. But
oh, we're also talking Garrett Cole. I mean, in that bullpen, come on.
And as far as additions go, I mean, we're talking about, you know, the Red Sox additions coming into the season. You know, you guys like Kike, Renfro, like we talked about, and stuff like that. Guys who, you know, flew under the radar for the most part going into the season. And then you're talking about a Yankees team who added Joey Gallo during the season.
And Anthony Rizzo.
Yeah, and Anthony Rizzo. So you're
who Bobby D outplayed second half of the year. Bobby D.
We're talking about those kind of additions versus kind of, you know,
in that stadium too. I mean, come on, that's a little league stadium.
Yeah, it's like what the Yankees have been doing for, you know, I mean, you know, since, you know, the
beginning of time.
I mean, it's just, it's one of those sports where it's, you know, it's not always gonna add up.
No, it's the beauty of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, the archaic way of viewing things from like the Yankees perspective of just buying. Can you buy wins? I mean, you can. It's definitely working. I mean,
they're making the playoffs every year, but that's not what they want.
That's not what they want. And it's, the circumstances for the Yankees and that team.
It's a joke that they're not winning the World Series. It's a joke.
I mean, yeah, it's a stereotypical, last year was almost stereotypical out of those two teams. I mean, you're looking at, you know, you have the Orioles at the bottom of the division, obviously. But I mean, other than that, you got four teams that are all really good. And then you have
four teams that should have been in the playoffs. Yeah. I think Toronto was better than Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah, and, you know, you have the Yankees coming in as favorites, and then you have the Red Sox, who are like, you know, the little brother, and they come into their own throughout the season.
Scratch and wins together.
And they start playing well, and then it's all exciting, and then you get to Fenway, and it's different. So, you know, I mean, for the Yankees, it's just, when is it going to happen? Is it a matter of time? Is it, you know, is it inevitable for them?
We'll see. Time will tell, Dre. Time will tell. All right. Last signing for the Red Sox I want to talk about is another right-handed pitcher, Michael Wacha. 1 year, $7 million. I think that's a good deal. I think this guy can really help out the Red Sox. I mean, you got to remember, when Michael Wacha was in St. Louis, he was supposed to be the next dude.
Yeah.
He was supposed to be that guy. Obviously, things haven't panned out in the way he's wanted to. You know, he's been hurt. But, I mean, I'm trying to make a comparison here. When Michael Wacha was in St. Louis, it kind of has the feel of who Dustin May is on the Dodgers. I mean, obviously, they're different pitchers, and, you know, May just fills up the radar gun. But Michael Wacha was that young stud. Like, this guy's going to be an all-star. This guy's going to win the St. Louis Cardinals a lot of games. And, you know, that didn't happen the way they wanted to. And now, you know, I'm about to pull up his baseball reference here just to get some more info on him. Let's take a look at this. You know, first round draft pick back in 2012 out of Texas A&M. He's going to be 31 on July 1st. So, you know, another guy who's been around the league a while. You know, he was an all-star in 2015 with St. Louis when he went 17-7. And, you know, as of 2018, he was 8-2 in St. Louis. You know, since then, 2019, 6-7 with St. Louis, 2020, 1-4 with the Mets, and then 3-5 last year with the Rays. So, I mean, how will he be able to get back to 17-7? Probably not, especially in the AL East. You know, he's not in the NL anymore. These are legitimate lineups now. He's not going to face a pitcher every third inning. So, I mean, we'll see how that goes. But I wasn't mad about the signing. I wasn't happy about the signing. I think it's a good deal for what we're getting. Just another guy in the bullpen.
It's a stockpile. I mean, no one's expecting him to be a world beater by any sense. But, I mean, it's just, you know, Michael Wacha is one of those names where, you know, just for baseball fans is such like, it's, you know, it's like, oh, remember Michael Wacha and stuff like that. It's, you know, it's a guy who obviously has done it before. He had he had that really good season.
17-7, his third year in the league, all-star, at 23 years old.
Back in 2015, and was just, you know, I mean, at that point, like you had said, I mean, he was, you know, up next. It was like he was going to be the guy. And, you know, I mean, what, he had 153 strikeouts. I mean, you know, he's a guy that, you know, he has the ability to, like, get people out. And, you know, it's another thing where it's like, you know, for a year and $7 million to have another guy who has, you know, the ability to have a ceiling, to have those moments where he can pitch and stack up innings. I mean, it's something, I mean, it's another asset for the Red Sox to collect. It's nothing that, you know, that's going to jump off the page or anything like that. And, you know, it's not, it's, this was, I mean, this was for sure secondary to me. To the James Paxton signing.
Oh, for sure. For sure.
But it was, I mean, it's just, you know, he's a guy, he has high strikeout potential. He misses the bat a lot. You know, just a guy to have. And it's just depends on what role he settles into.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you about where do you see him in the rotation of the bullpen? Me personally, I think the Red Sox could do, you know, every fifth day, we're going to start a guy. He's going to go as long as we want him to, probably like 3-4 innings. And that's going to be a bullpen game from there. I think they're going to have like a beginning pitcher who's not really a starter. I think that could be Michael Wacha. He can get through the lineup one time.
Yeah. He's a guy that can be in the bottom of the rotation and he can come out of the bullpen. I mean, he has the ability to strike people out. That's definitely like his biggest asset as a pitcher, is just missing bats. And, you know, he's a guy you can plug in. I mean, I see him, you know, he can pitch every fifth guy in the rotation, bottom of the order. I mean, he's a guy that can get through a lineup. You know, can he, I mean, you know, we'll see flashes of what he had. I mean,
he's been in the postseason. You know, like he's been there.
Yeah, I mean, it's a guy.
Been around it. Sorry to interrupt. 2013, he was the NLCS MVP with St. Louis, going 2-0 with 13.2 innings pitched, 13 strikeouts for to send the Cardinals past the Dodgers that year.
Yeah. And it's always, I mean, there's always something to be said for especially a pitcher who has been there before and has had that, you know, taste of what it's like to be elite in the MLB.
Yeah. Especially in a market like St. Louis, where like it's a big time market out there. It's obviously not Boston, but he's not, it's not like he's coming from Cincinnati or, you know, a team like that. Like this guy, he's going to be able to handle the criticism. He's going to be able to handle the fans. And I think he's going to be a real big help during the postseason next year. Granted, we get there.
Yeah, he could. He's a guy that is just going to help you down the stretch. I mean, it's to have, you know, like we said, just to stockpile another arm and to just have him for what any role you need him to fit into. And that's what seems what kind of guy he's going to be for the Red Sox, where he's going to do whatever they ask him to do.
Yep.
Fit into whatever role he has to. And I mean, you know, it's one of those things where if, you know, you're looking at it as a Red Sox fan, you're just like, we'll see.
You know, also, Alex Cora manages the bullpen better than a lot of managers in the league. He gets the most out of his guys. Great players coach. I mean, I wish I could play for the guy. It seems like he maximizes everyone's potential. And yeah, I think that was clear with this season. I mean, guys like, you know, Kike's always been good, but he was never an everyday guy in LA. Hunter Renfro was never 31 bombs leading the league in assists. Like, and then even guys like, he brought Christian Arroyo back from the dead. Former first-round pick Christian Arroyo seemed like he was going to be a minor leaguer the rest of his career. And it just seems like Alex Cora really gives these guys a confidence boost and gets the most out of them.
Yeah, and you can see it. You just live. Watching the games, it was so clear the atmosphere that team had going on in the clubhouse.
Seems like a great clubhouse to be in.
Where, you know, that's the theme that they had with last offseason is kind of being maintained through this one, where it's, you know, no signings that are kind of going to blow off the page or jump out to anybody. But, I mean, there's things that maybe, like, you know, Alex Cora feels like these guys, if they can fit into the role that I need them to fit into, or they're willing to, you know, compromise with me to, you know, help us, that's all he might want. Just got to play a role, do your job. And if that's what he's going for and that's what he sees out of them, that's fine. It's all, I love, you know, these kind of signings are, you know, always good, I think, especially when you're talking about Paxton and Waka. I mean, they're both 1-year deals, 10 mil or below, 7 mil with Waka. It's just things with big upside. And,
yeah,
you know,
yeah, it can't really hurt them.
It's the theme with both signings. It's knowing that, you know, if it works, it works. And I think that's kind of, you know, what happened last year with these signings. There were signings that no one was looking at, just being like, you know, this is really going to move the needle for the team. I mean, it ended up doing it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, these are the type of things that, you know, this Red Sox team could use. You know, it's just another guy in there that can do what you might need him to do at any given time.
You know what, Dre? Getting a little hungry right now. It's getting towards dinner time. And I don't think anything would fill my stomach better than a sandwich from Earl of Sandwich right now. I mean, we've spent hours on end in the Boston Common eating Earl of Sandwich. Big fan of that chicken chipotle Sambo they have there. Great sandwiches, priced very reasonable. I mean, it's the Boston Common, so, you know, but, you know, they got the chips They got the frozen lemonade. They got Pepsi. You know, I'm a Coke guy, but they got the Pepsi. They got the ice cream. They got the tomato soup. They got the pizza for the kids. I mean, Earl of Sandwich is everything you can ask for a sandwich shop, and located right in the Boston Common. So, you know, two Emerson kids like us, that's every day. Every day we're at Earl's getting those Sambos. I mean, I'm just a big Earl of Sandwich fan. And I'm such a big fan that, you know, I got a little promo going with them, Dre. Mm-hmm. So next time you go to Earl's, tell them Lou sent you and you'll get a free cookie with your meal. How good are those cookies, Dre?
The cookies are phenomenal.
All right, Dre, the moment everybody's been waiting for, our signature segment called The Show Socks is coming up real quick. For you guys and girls who don't know what The Show Socks is, it's that every episode we ask the people who they think the Socks should pick up next year. And what we do is we put them on the Red Sox and MLB The Show, and we simulate a season to see how they did. So the people spoke. They tweeted at Lupod. They DM'd Lupod. And the people want Freddie Freeman playing 1B for the Bo Sox next year. And so, I'd love that, obviously. Would love that. So this is how he ended up the season. He batted 305, 34 bombs, 98 ribbies, with an OBP of 400, slugging 508. OPS 908. He was an all-star. He backed up Vladdy. I mean, Vladdy, obviously, one of the best players in the league. And then Freddie Freeman was not enough to get us ring number 10, though. The Sox lose to the Yankees in seven games in the ALCS. Sox with a wild card at 96-66. So, obviously, not what we were looking for. But, I mean, a simulated season of MLB The Show, that's kind of what you're going to get. I mean, the Yankees in MLB The Show should beat the Sox, even with Freddie Freeman. So, I'm sorry to say, but the vote, the people, Freddie Freeman wasn't the pick. So, next week, let's see who you guys want. Maybe a pitcher. Also, doesn't have to be a free agent signing. Could be a big trade that people want. So, tweet at Lou_pod. Who you want on the Sox next week. That is all the time we got for the Lou Pod today. I want to thank everyone tuned in to this historic event. First, you're the first guest on Lou Pod. I mean, this could blow up. Who knows? So
yeah. It could have been anyone. And the fact that you chose me.
Could have been anyone.
It could have been anyone. So I appreciate my selection as, you know, the first guest. Really means a lot.
Once again, just want to thank everyone tuning in. And I want to say thank you to one of the best dudes I know, Andre Padovani. So tune in, though. Next Sunday, Lou Pod Episode 2. Follow me on Twitter at Lou_pod to get updates, and tweet and DM Lou Pod to see who's going to be on the Sox next spring to get us ring number 10. That's all the time we got. Thank you and have a great day.
Lou Pod is brought to you by Earl Sandwich, the official sandwich of Emerson College. Tell them Lou sent you and receive a free cookie with your next meal.